You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, it's all over to the finance minister next week. What is he going to do? The space for rabbits out of hats is increasingly diminished. Patricia Williams, tax partner at Bowmans and member of the SAICA Tax Administration Act Committee, is on the line. Patricia, there are lots of challenges facing the finance minister, and in terms of generating new taxes in particular. And I think the simple and crisp question is, how does one generate tax revenues from constituents who are still trying to recover from a devastating 2020?
It is indeed an extremely challenging aspect. What is potentially a bit of hope for taxpayers is that the increase that were announced in the medium-term budget policy statement was only a $5 billion increase for 2021-22. And to give you an idea of the kind of amounts that can be raised without too much difficulty, 2 years ago, there was a lack of adjustment for personal income tax bracket creep. And that's when, instead of changing the tax brackets, you just leave them exactly as they are, or you make a minor change for the low-income earners. And in 2019, there was $12.8 billion raised by government in this way. So all that the government needs to do to raise the $5 billion is to make only, let's say, just under half of the normal kind of adjustment for bracket creep that they would otherwise do. It's not actually an insurmountable obstacle. We don't need to do, we've seen various people speak about, you know, significant increases for individuals. It's not actually necessary.
And then another easy one must surely be on the tax administration side. And we have seen Judge Dennis Davis come out and say that there is a big gap, not the fiscal deficit, but the gap between what ought to be collected and what is collected.
Absolutely. So that's why one of my recommendations is on the interim collection, the tax reporting and interim collection. And I know it'll be ironic because I'm in the legal profession, but I actually believe that we should have a new tax reporting and collection system in the legal profession, specifically on amounts paid by attorneys to advocates and amounts paid by other advocates to advocates. That would be our council fees. And, you know, just like you have with employees, employees' tax is deducted. One could have a similar system that whenever a payment is made to an advocate, some form of income tax is deducted up front. It doesn't have to be the full income tax, because, of course, there may be some expenses that the advocates have, but perhaps a lower withholding tax rate, similar to the dividend tax rate of 20%. Now, if, of course, everyone has been paying their taxes correctly up until this point, there should be no objection to having a reporting system like this. And it actually might make it a little bit easier when it comes to provisional tax. You don't have to pay half your taxes, you know, in February and August each year. They'll be collected for you in a much more manageable way.
Yeah,
which could actually make it easier for everyone involved and get money in much sooner to the government.
I think it's a very interesting proposal, that. And as you say, rather than imposing that half-yearly discipline, which, let's face it, sometimes we're very loath to do, and we dip into that, and then we've got to scratch and scrounge around at the half-yearly point, it imposes a bit more discipline. And obviously, as you say, if you've been paying the tax, there really should not be any problem with a proposal like that. What are some potential pitfalls that could creep up in this budget?
So one of the things I'm very worried about always in this kind of situation is what we'd call knee-jerk reactions. So often one of those things you would have seen already, lots of people talking about wealth taxes, you know, it's the people that the public love to hate. All things that people don't like alcohol or tobacco products, where they're suddenly talking about increasing taxes on these products without thinking about all the relevant factors, like the significant impact on GDP and job creation, and then thinking about, in particular, how hard it's been for the alcohol and tobacco industry in the last year. What further negative impact could happen, you know, for jobs if we were to impose significant taxes? If one is going to do something like that, it needs to be very carefully thought out. It needs to be coherent and well considered. It has to fit in with our policy objectives. And another important factor is to involve public participation, which is, of course, an important constitutional right before reaching conclusions. And then the other pitfall that I'm concerned about is incomplete solutions. So we often have these new taxes, and then the problem with the new taxes is that they actually drive the reverse behavior. So when we had the problem with VAT refunds, we saw a lot of businesses migrating. When we had the new tax the issue about no longer having exemptions for offshore earnings, people were like, well, I'm already working offshore, I might as well just immigrate. So sometimes the proposals to raise taxes actually end up reducing taxes.
Yep.
So, you know, we've got existing loopholes in the legislation, we've got estate duty, but we don't have an exit tax. So if you leave, just like you've got a CGT exit tax if you leave before, and so that you still have to pay your capital gains tax. We don't have an exit tax if you leave just before anticipated death. So you do actually have a whole batch of migrations of people to tax-free locations in their 70s.
And there are those unintended consequences. Patricia Williams, tax partner at Bowman's and member of the SAICA Tax Administration Act Committee, with some easy wins and some potential pitfalls ahead of next week's budget. Anne Williams is standing by with your news. Slightly late. Sorry, Anne.